Ocean FM.
Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.
It's just fabulous to see him alive and up and picking her up.
Demi's winning that team. Demi's winning you.
The thing about the club is you don't choose your club. It's like family.
You want to get back out on the field. It's just it's in your blood, I suppose. And you just want to get out there now and get the games going again.
Brian Murray, thank you. Let me shake hands with you. You come in here hobbling. How are you feeling now?
Oh, I'm all right. I tell you nothing but a couple of pints won't do, I'll tell you, you know.
He gets a bit behind it. He launches it in. It's over the bar. The wee man.
Donegal, 21 points, Armagh, 1 goal and 10 points, an 8-point win for Donegal. I love that new shot clock, but we'll come to that in a second. We're not guessing anymore. Well, there's 4 minutes gone up, but how many more will he play after that? 70 is 70 as Ryan McHugh shake hands with the referee. Donegal 21, Armagh 110. 3 wins from 3 for Donegal. Man of spoil.
Yeah, I mean, their performance, I suppose, the first day against Dublin, and again going down to Kerry and picking up 2 points regardless of the night that was in it, to work hard. But their performance today, excellent. Very, I hate using the word professional, because I know not one of them's getting anything out of it. So I'll just say their attitude's exemplary, their conditions exemplary, and their performance today, just like old times. And great to see the children that never got an opportunity to get an autograph of Michael Murphy availing of that just in front of our eyes, Paddy.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So what did you make of it overall over that? The 70?
I think over the 70, Donegal were much stronger. They were sharper, especially in front of goals. They made very few mistakes. The opportunities that they availed of were simple opportunities, but they didn't look for twos all the time. They were there to pin on as many scores as they have. They worked it into the areas that they knew the sure kicks. Some excellent kicking from the likes of Jimmy Brennan in the first half. Paddy McBrearty, excellent. Conor Donnell had a couple of good ones. Oisin Gallen, probably a wee bit quieter than we've come to expect. But in the first half, I thought Donegal, out of the opportunities to kick 12 points, all one-pointers. I felt that they were much better. Armagh, after they scored the goal, you would expect them to come harder and harder, but it never came. Donegal just smothered them out, and their performance in the first half was, they just seen it out. You would expect the kick from Armagh in the second half, Paddy. The kick was not a kick, it was a headbutt into Michael Murphy's chest, which seen Aidan Faulkner. And the one thing that the new rules has certainly has put forward, that you can't get a man sent off. 14 men is a non-starter, and I somebody mentioned man of the match. To me, I thought Paddy McBrearty was the best player on the pitch for Donegal. I thought he was excellent. He showed his old self, very good from the left, very consistent in making sure that when he needed to make a pass, he made a pass. And I just see him picking up the Man of Match award from TJ Cahir. So, yeah, a super performance, and delighted for Paddy, because, you know,
He came on against Dublin, and he looked fresh even within 5-10 minutes that day, didn't he?
You know, I had an opportunity to speak to him after the Galway game, and he was extremely disappointed, because in the back of his mind, that was an opportunity, and I'm not going to get too many opportunities. And it's not that it was about him. He talked of the team and the group and the people at Donegal. So you don't get too many opportunities. So it's good to see him back. He's flying. He's in great shape. I think the introduction of Big Michael will only help Paddy. And I think it'll only help the group at Hold. He'll bring something completely different to the whole thing. And if he ever gets out of Bob Faye tonight, I'm sure we'll get a word with him in the next few weeks. But I thought Donegal were excellent, Paddy. Without doubt, the best team on the pitch. And a couple other good performances. I would say extremely happy for Mark Corn. Had the pleasure of coaching him during the summer. Thought he was excellent. Jamie Brennan, very sharp. Kieran Thompson, sharp. Ryan McHugh, very good first half when they needed a couple of scores to just put more pressure on Armagh. He just came in with them. One with the outside of the foot, one with the inside of the foot. You know, excellent. Couldn't say a bad word about Donegal's performance overall. Great to see Darrow Boyle coming on at half time, made an impact. All good.
We are delighted to be joined now by Martin McHugh, who was watching this one in the commentary booth as well, and our drama and a Killybegs man and a Kilcar man all within a metre of each other. This is dangerous stuff here, Martin. What did you make of Donegal today, Martin?
I thought Paddy was probably our best performance to date of the three games, because other games, you know, and you know, at stages when Armagh got the goal the first half, you thought they're going to head on, and Donegal had what, seven scores or something after that, right in a row after that. So I thought it was all around a great performance, and most the big story of the day is going to be Michael Murphy coming back and the difference he made in when Armagh lost Aidan Falker to the straight red card. You felt Donegal with the new rules and with them out of running and everything else in the game. But I'm very impressed with Donegal. I thought Sean Patton was very safe. So kickouts, he got away a lot of short kickouts, particularly to Ryan McHugh in the game, which, you know, sometimes when we hadn't maybe the two big men in the middle of the field made a difference. And I thought all round, you couldn't complain about any of the performances. You know, if we take it every way, and then getting Michael Murphy in the field, Paddy McBurdy was very, very sharp. Kieran Thompson, one in matter, kicked good scores. Conor O'Donnell just needs to straighten up his foot. Other than that, he had a very good game, and young Mark Curran was brilliant today again, and Brendan McCall was outstanding. Turbo didn't get a kick at the ball on him basically, and he did well, you know. So where do we go? We were worried about maybe going into it with Armagh's big men in the middle of the field that they were going to run, but we picked up a lot of breaking ball and we did really well in that area. Keelan McGonigal probably had his best game after coming back from injury today. So yeah, Jim keeps his record in Balbuffet, never been beaten, which is great, because now we look forward to the championship game here, because the next two games are in Ballyshannon and in Letterkenny, the two home games that's to come. So yeah, I have to say, enjoyed it immensely. I enjoyed the style of football we played, and, you know, we really caused a lot of trouble. I think we had 10 different scores in the game or something like that, you know. So, all round, Paddy, brilliant, and it's great. And any day, you know, you've beaten Dublin, beaten Kerry, and now the All-Ireland champions, Armagh. I know we had two of them at home. Are you safe on 6 points? Probably very close to that. Now, Mayo beating Tyrone today might have made a difference, and Derry picking up a point last night. But you're in a very good position, and I expect us to see players being next week there'll be a different Donegal team. We'll see, he will definitely rest players, because it'll be very important. We've already lost Michael Langan at this stage. You don't want to lose any other players. So, and I mean, Michael Murphy was exceptional. I mean, you think he was never away when he came back on there. And Armagh thought they were going to roughen him up, but it's not an easy man to be roughing up, Paddy.
Just on the sending off, we having the luxury of the TV screen. We thought we were in a brilliant eye line anyway. We thought a definite red card from our vantage point. Now, he probably didn't hit him that hard, but he's the letter of the law. What did you make of it?
There were a bit of going on. I think when he came on first, Michael Murphy came on, I think it was Andrew Murn or somebody went into him first and started to hit him, just welting him back. And then he went on and proceeded, and Fogarty said, "I'm captain and I'll deal with this here." And then they're thinking, you know, you can't, he put his head into his chest or whatever. You just can't do that, you know, and the referee, I've seen it and that there, you know. But I think it's good that, you know, the big hype of Michael Murphy coming, I mean, it'll be all the right tomorrow, but at least now he's back and he's in. So if he starts the next day, there'll be as much hype about it and everything else. So it's good for everybody. But I mean, he looked very sharp. The point, he kicked his left foot and kicked one of his right foot. So yeah, you know, and I think it's good that we won as well, with maybe some players we're depending a lot on maybe not playing as well as they can play. So all round, we didn't pick up any injury, didn't pick any missing off, and then we scored 21 points,
yeah, 21.
And we got 23 the first day and what, 20 the last day. So it's around that. We're not scoring goals, so we've no goals scored, is that right?
Yeah,
so
correct.
Folks might need a goal. We had a couple of goal chances, all right, but we'll take it as we go along now. And it's great. It's great for the support was here. It was massive.
We were saying on commentary, and stand to correction, and people no doubt will text me if I'm wrong, I think since the reshuffle of the league around 08, I was looking it up before, Cork are the only team, I think, to go down on 6 points. So it's highly unlikely. Your point, absolutely accurate. you're 99% sure if you get 6 points. Donegal have that, and let's be honest.
I think Armagh went down on 6 points.
Did they? Okay,
somebody down downstairs said it. Passed a comment there. Armagh went, I don't know. Somebody
that
said
could
it.
Be. So it's one, maybe once or twice.
I don't think they're down on 6 points.
Highly unusual. Yeah. Does that mean you mentioned maybe tweaking players? And just before you both go, last question to both of you. I know this sounds silly. Are we going too well almost? Because it's other years in the past, you had a 3-4 week gap between, say, a league final and, say, the Ulster Championship. Now, there's two things. One, it's a 1 week gap. And two, it's a preliminary round of Ulster. It's not even the proper first round. It's the preliminary round. Would you want to be running in to a league final, use even as former players, with a 1 week gap to the Derry game?
Well, as somebody that played the National League final and a championship within a week in 95, we played the National League final one Sunday and then we were out against Down, who were All-Ireland champions the week after. It took something special, just, you know, the fact that we lost. To be fair to the lads, they lifted it to come back in a good performance the week later. But it's not the ideal preparation, because to continuously keep getting yourself up, motivated for the game at that time, it took a lot out of the legs. I think that's the way it is now, the way they're set up. They've done a lot of work. There's a lot of work done on the legs. I think Martin's right. They go to Galway, I think you will see different performers. He's going to use the big squad that he has. He needs to get probably a few more minutes into some of the other players' legs in order to prep for the championship, because the way the game is now, I think you will going to see more injuries. I think today, I don't think Mark Curran started the other two games.
No.
I thought he was excellent today. I thought he showed that energy. And I think you'll find the next day that there'll be somebody else given a half and then they'll start the next game. So that energy is always consistent throughout the group. And that's what I've no doubt Jim will do. I've no doubt the players will have bought into that. But yeah, you know, you could just see a couple of Ryan pulled up, you know, stretching the calves near the end. I mean, it's been a lot of physicality in the last number of weeks. So yeah, it does take its toll. But the 6 points, I think we're more than safe. You just want to be careful that you just wouldn't get 8 or 10 and can find yourself out the week before. But I mean, it wouldn't be the worst thing, but it still is not the preparation. We all know where the big prize is, and that's what we want to see.
Yeah, well, you see, the funny about it is some people would say, if you were talking to some football people, they would say, go on and win the league, because we've only won one league in our history. And why not go and win a league rather so than, and don't worry about the Ulster Championship, and go then for the bigger picture, you know, and say, which mightn't be a bad idea when you look at it, analyse it, but I have a funny feeling that Jim likes the Ulster Championship, would like to win it. So I think exactly what Manus has said is what's going to happen next week. Well, I mean, we definitely need, you're going to need a squad. Because somebody said to me coming out of the Galway game last year, we didn't have enough players. One of the management team came and said we hadn't enough on the bench to come on to make a difference. We need that bench. So my own nephew Owen McHugh, Niall O'Donnell, wasn't it great to see him back today?
They're going to
need game time. So he's going to have to give the likes of them players game time. Connor O'Donnell, another game. Keelan McGonigal, as I said, improving with every game. Michael Murphy, they're all, you know, going to be game time. And you're going to maybe use other subs, you know, if Q McFadden's fit again next week, because he was very valuable in Kerry. So I think that the squad will be important. I think he will use as much squad. I think it was important today not to lose his home record. I think that was important. He could have said we'll rest players today, and there were a wee bit of talk about it, but he didn't make that decision, and he's proven right now, because this home record is important when Derry come here. But if we look at it, didn't Derry win the league, Manus, and then Donegal beat them then the following week in Derry? It's not an easy, like, you lost the game and then you won the following week. It's not an easy thing to go into a league. I think Mayo 1 year won the league final, and Roscommon, Mark was actually involved with Roscommon, beat them the following week. Beat them the following week. So I think listening to Desi Farrell last night, what he said was, he said the league doesn't really matter. He says, I'm looking at players as a bonus to win the game. So I think Jim McGuinness will look at it the same way. But I think the good thing about it, there's Michael Murphy and they're all around him down there. But I think the big thing about it is, and the great thing about it is, we have 6 points early. Now we can start preparing for your championship and get ready and get game time into players, rather than having to go to Mayo in the last game looking for 2 points, or, you know. But you'll still want to beat Tyrone and Letterkenny, and you'll want to beat Derry, because you want to beat Derry and Ballyshannon. So you'll still want to win them games, and then you hope that doesn't get you into a league final, Paddy and Manus.
And I know listeners are going, what are you on? And just the context of it, and given the history of it, it's not like it was 30 years
I think
ago.
It's the fact that if you get into a league final, you're playing 9 games in 10 weeks. Which is a serious amount of football, especially under the new rules. And if you're winning those games and you want to continue winning those games, then you're, the players that you're dependent on, the main players, and regardless of the squad, there's 8 or 10 main players that you're going to take all that energy out of, and they're going to need that as the summer goes on. So you have to be you know, reasonable in that there, that to expect to win every game, and then be in the shout in the last four or the last two when it comes down to July. You know, that's it. You have to be reasonable, and you have to think that out. And it's funny, no better tactician than McGillis to do that.
I was on the CCCC 2 years ago now in Dublin, but I weekly got up that him and I said to do away with the league final and just have the league and the winners of the league. Yep. So, and I said we'd make a great final day of the league. You might have Donegal down in Mayo getting ready for you know, to play the game, and you might have a helicopter taking the cup maybe to Galway or to Mayo or somewhere, and it would make it a lot better to win the league as the team wins the league. But we put the proposal, the CCCC, through to the Central Council, but it was knocked down because the sponsors and everything else, they said they still want the league final. But I think it would have been a far better idea, and we'd have a far better league, and I think it's something they should go back and look at again, because it would give Donegal, if they did win the league, or even the way they play, you still have 2 weeks at least, yeah, before you get ready for the championship, which makes a big difference. So I think the team that wins the league, because you look at Donegal now, we'll just say Donegal are safe now and they put out a second team. That's unfair on the teams battling at the bottom, but Donegal have looked after themselves. Yeah. But if you are Donegal going to win the league and just won the league and get their points, then everybody battles out. So I think it's something they should look at. I think the sponsors could still be in McHale Park, or they could still be in Croke Park, or they could still be whatever they have to be, you know, there to present the cup, and they would get as much publicity out of it. And if you would say Donegal playing the league final, to win a game here, to win the league, look at the atmosphere in the crowd. So I think it's someone they definitely should revisit, in my opinion.
Okay, once again, thanks to Martin McHugh and Manus Boyle for joining me. Up next, it's Donegal manager Jim McGuinness and Donegal player Ryan McHugh, who spoke to various reporters in the immediate aftermath of Donegal's 8-point win.
In terms of experience and atmosphere and, you know, the vibe around the town and coming in and all, it's great for the lads, you know, and you're playing all Ireland champions. So these kind of types of games stick in the memory, I think, you know, whenever you hang the boots up. So no, definitely good experience for us. We still have a lot of things to work on, but we're very happy to be where we're at. You know, it'll give us a chance now to look at everything, and you know, 6 points is a very important marker, probably, you know, in terms of the league, and I think everybody wants to get there as quickly as possible. So we're there now. We're thankful for that, and we'll have to keep the shoe down now if we can next weekend.
Yeah, does that afford you the opportunity now to try different things, then, that you've won 3-3 top of the table? Does it ease the pressure again into the next series,
Mark? I think it does. Like, you know, Hugh McFadden today done well in the first few games, and he was kind of, there was a doubt there, you know, when we decided not to put him in. So those types of moments will be, you know, we're not be taking any risks with anybody now moving forward. We have, you know, we have points on the board, and if there's anybody, you know, that's carrying an off or needs a rest or anything, then we'll be open to that, very, very open to that, yeah.
Jim, what about Michael Murphy today, back into the fold? He got a fantastic reception, and it all just seemed to kick off once he was on the pitch, Jim.
Literally, yeah. I just spoke about him in the dressing room to our own lads, you know, and just great to have him back, great to have his presence. You know, I think there's not much I can say about Michael that hasn't been said before, but I thought that he just led the line really well when he went in there. Has done an awful lot of work to put himself in that position, a bit like you and all the rest of them. We didn't want to put him into a position too early. You know, we want him to be the best that he can be, so hopefully that's just the start of it now, and we can recover him down and see what we can do with him next week.
What was the most pleasing aspect of today's game, Fraser?
Listen, there's a lot of positives. I think defensively we defended really well. You know, I think in Old Mummy we probably only conceded 8 points or thereabouts, you know. So that was pleasing. They worked hard very, very well, they transitioned very well, our established attack was really good in period. So all of that, you know, was pleasing. I think it's just a collective really. And you don't want to let your own supporters down. That's reality. Like, you know, the home games are very important, but they're also an opportunity. You know, the most pleasing thing probably was the kids singing and calling Donegal, you know, and it was all children's voices. That was the most pleasing part, you know, because there's an opportunity for that on home games. to involve the crowd and bring people with you. So, no, a lot of positives, but definitely a lot of things to work on, particularly our shape.
Jim, how pivotal were those few minutes where Mike Murphy comes on with a huge cheer, then their captain is sent off straight away? And like they had come back with a couple of 2-pointers, the game was very much in the middle.
No, definitely. But, like, you know, Donegal and Armagh will always have sort of those types of dynamics. You know, you don't expect to, you know, race into a bit of a lead and win the game. And we were 4 points down twice in the Ulster final last year, and we didn't think we were going. Armagh would absolutely be the same today, you know. So these games go down to the wire. Every single one of these games go down to the wire, and you have to just roll with the punches in many respects and just try and see it out and be on the right end of it when the final whistle goes, and that's what they did with.
Had your view on the red card itself?
No, I don't try to comment on other people's players. I've enough hassle with these books.
Oh, thank you.
Kevin, you said before the league started that you had some reservations about the goalkeeper coming up. You've had 3 runs of it now. What do you make of it?
I think I would still hold back an opinion because the work is still in progress. We're only 3 rounds in, you know, and so you have to give everything this opportunity to see before you make a decision. I do think it's a wee bit strange, though, that if a team gets a man sent off, you know, and then they're attacking in the next phase, and they will be punished by getting a man sent off, that they have an attacking overload on the back of that. It was a 12-11 attacking overload, even though they had a man sent off. That doesn't make sense to me. I think that should be parity, if not the other way, potentially. So that's a bit of a strange one that probably nobody thought about up until today. But, you know, to be coming down the stretch there, having Armagh having had a man sent off, and us scrambling in an 11-12 situation with fatigue in the legs and trying to stop 2-pointers, that's hard to get the head round in many respects. So I don't have an opinion on that. It's just that does jump out at you in terms of the game. So we'll have to have a think about that one definitely.
Jim, Jason
Lee and Michael Langan and Hughie, very satisfied just to have control over that little bird for certain spells of that game, because they're obviously supposed to be the men.
That's probably the answer that I should have given when I was asked.
That is true. Like, as a management team, we were sitting and I actually said that to the boys. I said, it's great, you know, that they got so much out of it around the middle, feeling centre-half back, clearing the right wing half out and coming into that area and being able to do his job, you know. So that definitely probably had a big impact on the result in many respects. And Keenan's probably the most honest young fella that ever come across, you know, in every aspect of his life. And he worked very hard there today for a man that hadn't played in there. Also coming back from a big injury himself, you know, he had surgery in the summer and he's just building up his minutes himself. So he broke really hard, contested really well in there, and they've just done a really good job for the team, and hopefully some of these other lads will start coming back now.
Was Finbar an injury that
thing? Finbar's hamstring was tight, he got a heavy hit there, and his hamstring was tight on the back of that.
How is Michael and Jason, just like they were kind of your...
Jason's working away and he's building again, like he had surgery in the summer as well. On his hip, and it's probably taken a wee bit longer than we would have hoped up to this point, but he's back now and he's in a very clear plan. We have a very clear plan for what we want to do with Jason, and Michael had a nick in the hamstring, so Michael will be a couple more weeks.
Yeah.
Well, in terms of the home, like you mentioned there about like coming and hearing the buzz around the ground, how much emphasis does it put on a home game, say to the players? Like, that's, I think, 15 games like your own weekend for yourself. As manager?
No, listen, it's important, like, you know, people are putting their hand in their pocket, and as I said earlier, they're taking kids with them and families and all that there. You know, it's so hard to win in this division. It's so hard to win. You have to target your home games. Everybody will tell you that. So, you know, that's what you have to try and do, and probably that's why that record is where it is, because if you don't win your home games, the chances of staying in the division are very, very low. So yeah.
Ryan, what was it like having Michael actually back on the pitch and back very much for a number of months this season, to have him come into the fray there?
Yes, it's unbelievable, you know. As Jim touched on, there's not much more words you can say about what Michael has given to his county, you know, and to put the boots back on again and to go again is unbelievable, you know. He's just a leader on and off the pitch of us all, you know, and I think he even showed that for the wee glimpse he was on today. So it is, listen, you want all the best players involved in the squad and in the setup and driving us on every single night, so it's great to have him back.
First shot, I think he kicks it over.
And then and his left foot as well, it was great to go back. I was waiting on him to turn into the right, but listen, he's a phenomenal footballer, so he is, you know, and he's only hopefully going to improve us, so hopefully he continues.
Is that the goalkeeper talked about,
then,
Jim?
Never
thought. You can answer that.
Well, we didn't start that. I don't know where that came. I do know where it came from, but we're way off the mark. We're well off the mark.
Last question.
What about Galway then, Jim, next week? Because you had to take them last year in the All-Ireland semi-final. Didn't go your way. They're obviously going quite well in the league as well. What
are you expecting from that game? Oh, listen, it'll be good. All the games are the same. All the games are going to be the same. You know, the seven games are going to be exactly the same, and you're going to be in the battle. Kick out your game today, absolutely massive, you know. So I think probably teams are starting to get a handle on how they want to play now, and we spoke about that before the league started. So Galway will be no different, you know. For us, you know, we need to go back, see what they're like in Convoy, get them recovered down, and then sort of come up with a plan for the best is yourself and the personnel for next weekend, you know. So it'll be game by game now for us. And not thinking any further than that, I think that's the most important thing.
Sure. Yeah,
we spoke about that at half time. Mm-hmm. You know, we did speak about that at half time, that Kerry had a massive run up and they weren't able to hold on, and so you're never out the gate now, you know, you're just never out the gate. I said it previously, there's going to be teams very disappointed in the summer. There's going to be teams that lead all the way and get a bloody nose. It's coming, it's going to happen, you know, and it's just trying to make sure that you're not that team is the big one, you know. But the ground's going to dry up, you know, the game's going to become quicker, fatigue's going to become a bigger part of it. A couple of moments, you know, you could have a goal and two-pointers and it's a massive tally, and all of a sudden, you know, it's gone. So yeah, that's going to be the challenge for every team in the summer.
Okay, Donegal, 21 points, Armagh, 1 goal and 10 points, an 8-point victory for Jim McGuinness's side in Park. Sean McCool and the local club here, their manager joins me, Gary Wilson. Gary, there's 49 motions and there's 7 rule enhancements. Commentary has got a lot tougher, so I'm doing loads of complaining, but I looked over to my right-hand side and I saw you. We know you're the McCool's manager. You're trying to mind 120 kids. Holy God.
it was busy. But 120 of them out there, the wee half-time games against Kerry Club up in Armagh. So that was fantastic. But now, the week leading into it was really tough. You were trying to navigate 60 of our own. And then somehow pull the 120 together with a lot of help from mammies and daddies and coaches. But look, isn't that what the Gaelic Games is about? It's about Michael returning, absolutely, but the bedrock is the kids and seeing them out there. And all codes was out there. We had the hurling out there, we had the girls football out there, we had the boys football out there. Hopefully in time we can get Camogie out there, and that is literally what it is. It's built on the club, that's where we're from, and our people, and our next generation, really.
Can I ask you, and yeah, because it was fantastic seeing them all looking up at Michael Murphy and Paddy McVerity and Oisin Gallen, the local man. He must be just a superstar to them, and the all-star last year, to just rubber stamp that.
Yeah, they are superstars. They're superstars in their own world in Ireland, in a sense, and they are superstars. The thing that I love about them all is how humble they are. They're right back down to earth. Like, we did a huge night here for Oisin last year when he got the all-star, and the amount of time that he took then to spend with the children, signing jerseys, taking photographs, you know, talking with older people, young people, the amount of time that he spent is phenomenal. And even like tonight, the Donegal backroom team, they had to usher Michael out of the field eventually. But the amount of time that they invest back into the children is, I think it just makes me really happy. It fills me with real pride to be where we're from in Donegal. And I think that's what Jim builds into them. You know, don't forget essentially where you've come from. These are the people that are here for you, you know. So like it's really, really good. Really, really good.
When I was growing up, Sean McCool's were very much a sleeping giant and they were almost redundant. Now, there was that county final appearance, I know, in 2004, and there was the odd sprinkle of magic here and there, but the club at the moment, even from coming to commentate here in the past few years, it's thriving at underage with unbelievable volunteers, the likes of yourself, Gary, and many, many more. But the club here in the Twin Towns is really getting back to, I suppose, the days of old, isn't it?
Yeah, like we have a huge population, like, and there's the amount of work that's going on that you never see. Like, I just look now at her, I just see her secretary going out past me there. You know, the amount of hours that secretaries put in, and treasurers and chair people, all these people that invest so much time that never see, you know, stepping up a big laurel steps, you know, the lift trophies, they never see that. And that's what ultimately they're doing it for, you know. But to bring it back to the club, yes, there's a huge amount of work going on. The amount of committees and subcommittees and sub-subcommittees that are out there at the moment is crazy, you know.
A lot of WhatsApp groups.
A lot of WhatsApp, and I'm in too many of them, you know. And that's what it is, it's all about. Like, I know my wife there, even she would be saying to me, you're waiting another meeting again, you're waiting another meeting. And I would say, well, that's part of it, that we want to do better, we want to be the best, and we're not the best. And, you know, we have to get up to the next level, and with that comes a huge amount of work we have to do to get up to be the best. And it'll take time. These things don't happen overnight. But with the right people, everybody pushing together the one way, you know, we can get there probably a wee bit quicker. But look, hopefully that we can make these things happen. But there is a huge amount of work going on the ground. A huge amount. We have teams from our academy, bring them in at four. You know, this year alone, from a coaching officer perspective, we have four under-12 teams. We have three under-12 teams this year. We'll have two minor teams, two 16 teams, two 14 teams. You know, and that's a huge benefit to us in our situation within Donegal, or our location within Donegal. And that's what we need to be. We need to have four teams at 12, because the way we look at it is, if we can have 4 to 5 teams at under 12, we're guaranteeing that we'll have two minor teams in 4 to 5 years' time, which long term guarantees that the volume of players that transfers from the juveniles to the senior level has to mean that the talent pool gets higher and higher and higher, and the standard gets higher and higher and higher. And as you say, to try to awaken that sleeping giant to get it back on top, if it's at all possible, but it'll take a long time.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So from the nursery back to adult football, and I actually, as a manager, I want to ask you your own views on the new rules and enhancements and motions and so on. I know it's quite a big topic. Just on Donegal, what did you make of them today? What have you met so far of what you've seen of Jim McGuinness's side?
I'm really, really impressed with them. Like tonight, you looked at that first 15 that went out. No Jason McGee, no Michael Langan. You know, people might have looked in and went, you know, could we struggle in midfield? Never missed a beat. Those guys that just stepped in, never missed a beat. And that's what Jim brings. I was very fortunate in 2010 to experience it for 6-7 months with the 21 campaign. And that's what he has the ability to do. He makes you feel 10 foot tall and that you could run through a wall. I am so, so impressed with him. What the added ingredient now that they get is they get back a renewed, maybe focused, and a really, really lean and impressive Michael Murphy that you've seen within 5 seconds that an Armagh man sent off. And that's the impact that Michael can bring. He just draws that attention. That was the sole focus, was let's get after Michael here. And I did 14 men. Within 5 seconds, the next touch of the ball was fired over the bar with the left foot. The way that Jim sets up the team in defence, the pressure that they apply to the ball from zone to zone, side to side, is incredible. I have never seen a team that can go from fighting a fire over here that are maybe thinking we've this sorted. No, we don't actually. Let's we get a sprint now and get back over here. To do that repeated over 70 minutes takes an incredible level of conditioning. I know from the senior level, the amount of conditioning required to do that and continuously do that, not do that in one phase, to continuously do that over maybe 30, 40 phases of attack that Armagh will get, takes an incredible amount of conditioning. The added thing that they have this year is they are so fast on the transition. There was a phase there, I think it was about the 62nd minute I looked, and the ball went up the right-hand side of the stand. There were 6 Donegal men sprinting. I mean, it was as if it was the 100-metre sprint in the Olympics. They were to see who was going to get up there first. And the Armagh team they could not live with that. And the way they're built, they will simply just outwork teams. You know, I know people have drawn on the influence that Jim has from Roger Schmidt and Jurgen Klopp and these managers. And that's what they done, was they simply outworked teams. You know, they also have the benefit that they have unbelievable footballers, Ryan McHugh, Potter, Oisin, Michael. And that's what makes it special at the end, that any time those guys get a shot, it's going over the bar. They're averaging now 22 points a game. Like, that is crazy shooting, crazy scores. And just haven't personally have the back ready for the All-Ireland. So I just think it's going to be an incredible journey in 2025.
We're toning down the All-Ireland talk in the podcast.
I know we are. And I accept that. And you're trying, I suppose, to always, even as a manager, you're trying to hold that back all the time. But I just look at it and they're just, even from talking to Oisín, and we have Sean Martin on there as well, like the focus that they have, you know, you would talk to Oisín and you say he was training last night, he nearly wouldn't give you the answer, like, because they're so focused on what they're there to do, which is unbelievable for the county, because it's me and Balfe, it's some other guy in our draft asking the question, and they're so focused and they're so bought into what Jim was telling them that my personal belief is that an All-Ireland is inevitable. I think it's inevitable within this year. I think it's, I don't see where it's going to come from, the threat. Now, look, football, these things can happen. Ball can ricochet off the bar. Like, we know these things. I just, at the minute, 3 games into the league, I just think it's inevitable, in my opinion.
Yeah, they're looking good, no doubt about it. Last one for you, and you've been brilliant with your time. I know so many managers and coaches right throughout the land with the new enhancements that have been brought in. So it's pretty much, could call it a trial for 2025, whatever. No doubt most will be kept, but you, and I would imagine every other manager's enjoying going to these county games to just really immerse yourself in it and have a look, I would imagine. And probably, I'd say most managers, a little bit of anxiety over them, a trout from Malinhead to Mizzenhead, just because they don't really know how they're going to play it, or is this a good base to get a kind of a grasp on it?
I think it is a good base to get a grasp on it. I think there has to be a certain level of tempering the expectation. To ask the club man to go out and play at that rapid transition pace up and down the field, probably not attainable with the level of conditioning. These guys are professionals now. That's the way they're professionals playing an amateur game. So there's things that we can learn from, if you want to say, the elite environment, and we can apply those to the club. I'm really excited by the new rules. The one that I have apprehensions about is the kick out having to go beyond the 40-meter arc. I know Jim Gavin had his remit, and that's fair. That's his terms of reference, and that's fair. In Donegal, it's heavily, heavily dominated by wind. So if you're going to places like Ardra, Tyne, Maharagallen, you could for 35 minutes of that game be pinned in where you simply cannot get out because of the 40-meter rule. I can see the rationale behind it, in the sense of we want to see what we saw tonight in terms of Michael's one-arm catch out there, Grimley's catch. I get that. I think at the club level, there could possibly be scope for conversations. I don't think it can happen because I know the belief is that they don't want a different game from the intercounty and the club, and that's fair. But I think what it has done as well is has speeded up the game, and it has opened up the game. The game there for 5, 6, 7 years, even from my coaching, from just learning how to coach and now to take in lead roles, it was so slow. It was back and forward, and nobody wanted to take a risk, and spaces were flooded with people. Now, because of the three up and the three back, the space that you have now to actually play is exciting. The space to, or the time that you potentially will get on the ball to lift your head and kick the ball, a skill that has probably fallen away from coaching. Even my own coaching, a lot of it is all handling touches, make sure you don't give away the ball. And even I watch underage coaching, a lot of it is focused on retention of the ball, and don't give it away. Now, as coaching officer, I'll be directing my teams, you've now got to learn how to kick the ball again. When I was a kid growing up, it was about catching and kicking. So I think the new enhancements are really, really exciting. I think they're exciting. There's pernickety things in there, like handing the ball back in the fall, these kind of things. But as I spoke to your own man, Cahill Bowen, last week, and I says, you know, what are you going to do about this hand? He says, look, if you can throw it back in a mild manner, I can live with that. And a lot of it will be common sense. And the rules are the rules. You know, the mark was brought on 10 years ago. People just got on with it. You know, and I think if you're going...
And referees made mistakes 10 years ago too. Everyone now, there was actually a double hop in the game last night, and which game was it now? I'm all confused. It was about a million games, but there was a double hop, and everyone was talking about the mistake that was made on the new rules. Was it inside the arc or outside the arc? I think it was the Meath Down game. But there was a double hop missed, and nobody was talking about that. But mistakes have always been made by referees. I actually like your attitude here, because you're not just some people are just generically going, well, I hate the rules, or even vice versa, I love the rules. It's deeper than that. It's not binary. It's not you either love them or you hate them. I overall like them with a few little tweaks, like you. We kind of can't go back to where we were.
As well, as I know somebody said out there, you know, like, oh, the speed of the game, like, what's the damage it's going to do in the club scene, because the guys aren't as conditioned as the Donegal team. My counter argument to that was, well, nobody said you had to go fast. Just get it up onto the half of the field, retain possession. Nobody says you had to go at 100 mile an hour. So it depends if you, I suppose, look, if you have a closed mindset or you have an open mindset. I'm fairly open to it and say, like, I think this, I think what's going to be really exciting, and that's probably, you'll know when I say this, the rural club who were maybe dependent on that young minor coming in, I think there'll be now environments where they can actually thrive. We have one that has come in with us, and the space that he's been afforded to go and play is much greater than the space that he would have had in the old game, which is exciting, because we're always looking for the next, who's the next one coming, who's the next one coming, who's the next one coming, and they're generally wee skinny boys, and they're not well built because of the age, but they're now being given an environment where they can actually go and say, well, I want you to do is beat one man, and then there's a bit of more space where you can get your head up and you can go and play football. So I think we can get drawn into the seven rules as a sort of a closed roadblock, or we can say, well, actually, look, there's actually so much more and more benefits to this. We can actually get more minors integrated into our starting 15. We can create longer player pathways and all that kind of stuff. We can get them under the conveyor belt system earlier. You know, I would say in the club, the minor that you were bringing through was probably going to be pushed into reserves and maybe kept there 2-3 years until he physically developed to withstand these 15 behind the ball. Whereas now, like, we started the Ulster League 2 weeks ago against Full Masters, started 4 of them, and did not look out of place because they were given an environment where they could get time to think, time to process what was being asked of them to do, and just execute. Last night we went to Ballymena, we got 3 of them in. So it's overall, for me, it's really, really exciting. I think it's exciting. And there's tweaks. The 40-metre arc in Mahari Allen is going to be really tough for a lot of teams to get that kick out, and it's tough for Guidoor, and that's... That'll be their advantage.
Might need a few pints and check Mickey's off.
You speak nice to Frank.
I'm liking it.
Back off, you know?
I'm liking it because a lot of managers were talking about retention rates of the kickouts and all that, and they're saying, well, we've gone from 75% last year to 50% this year, so it's kind of gone into the laps of the chaos, I suppose. So I'm actually liking your attitude here as a manager, and I think that's important because they're here for the year, whether you like it or not, that any manager, and you, by the way, people listening don't have to love them. I'm not, it's not fascism either.
The amount of texts that I got from even just club coaches, and I think it's great, and they're asking, you know, what can I do here? Can I take the goalkeeper out and put the full forward back? And I'm like, why are you getting hung up on this? Focus on the core skills of our game, catching, kicking, solo, and all these kind of things. Because what people do forget in all of this is Jim Gavin has an army background. So it's all built on strategy. Strategy of, this is, we're going over to the Lebanon or whatever, and there's a strategy we're putting in place to do this wee mission today or whatever. But what he also done was he put strategist around him. So every strategy that you're thinking in your head 6 to 7 months post has already been thought about. So you're focusing on things that they've already thought about 6-7 months ago, and they've got all the answers for. Whereas if you get bogged down in that, you'll actually get nowhere. Whereas if you just say, well, this is the rule, what are we going to do? How are we going to improve this? You know, so for us, it's very much focused on the skills of the game. Can you win your own battle in the sense of tackling? Can you tackle the ball and win it back? Can you, if you're a forward, beat your own man now? Can you kick your own scores? That's essentially, you're nearly coming right back full circle 25, 30 years where it was, I was up against you and I had to get the better of you. And you used to hear that. I remember our underage coaches, if we can win 10 or 12 of these battles today, boys, we'll win the game. And that's nearly coming back to that. And there'll be obviously strategists, managers out there saying, this is the system we want to put in place. But if you focus on, I suppose, the negatives in terms of trying to find the loopholes, you're probably going down a rabbit hole where you'll probably not get out of it, you know, because it has already been thought of in that sense.
I'm loving the positivity here, and especially for a man that's had to deal with 120 kids here today. Coaching officer at Shambacools, I got that right. And so obviously senior manager and just all-around brilliant volunteer. Yeah, it's not easy saying no to these club jobs either. I'm involved with the club now, down in the Midlands and that, and it's just like, you know, you always get asked to do a 100 job, but I love it. We love it. And as you made a great point, it's far away from the bright lights of, you know, the Michael Murphys and Jim McGuinness, isn't it? It's actually about, I had the nursery there. Jim just shakes hands here as he's walking past, but I'm involved with the nursery as well, and I love it. That's what the GA is. It's just, it's brilliant.
Like, I think Pat Spillane was on the Late Late Show there 2 or 3 weeks ago, and they'd done a big GA special, and he says his wife was saying to him, you know, he came home one night and he was very disgruntled about something maybe went wrong in a committee meeting, and she says, well, why are you doing it? And he says, well, I want to do it. You know, I want to do it. And I'm the same. People say to me, you're mad running about there doing coaching officer and senior manager. I have a 6-year-old son. He's no interest in football. Books is his thing. That's fine. I get so much joy out of seeing 120 kids out there, like, running about, and me, like a mad lunatic, running after them, trying to make sure that they're all set up and they're ready to go, and the cones and the poles. And but that is what it's built on. You know, I looked there tonight, even coming off the field, the amount of children that was surrounding Michael, and that's what it's about. And some of them weren't born, you know, when he won an All-Ireland for Donegal in 2012. Like, it's going on now 13 years. So to see that, of someone that wasn't there, they weren't born when he lifted Sam, is amazing. And that club is core, you know. And I think that the great thing about the GAA is you can go into senior panels and 20s panels and all these things, and you can deal with a lot of rejection, you know, in the sense of being picked or deselected and all these kinds. Your club will always be here. And that's the great thing about the GAA. It's built that way, and it has to be protected. Tonight is a huge night for Donegal, and that needs put out on its pedestal, but the club always needs protected in the sense where it's the bedrock, and we have to create these. I was in Kildress for 4 days doing a tutoring course for the GAA there Monday to Thursday, and the chairman spoke about that. When we cross the white line, it's McCool's versus Ardra, or it's McCool's versus Glenswelly, or whoever it is. We come back here, we're all here to build up our own little club, but ultimately for Donegal. So enough, we can all push and push and push our academies and our underage systems and all these kind of things, it's going to bear more fruits of what we're witnessing with Jim McGuinness, you know, at the minute. So
beautifully articulated. Sean McCool's manager, Gary Wilson, and that won't be the last time you're going to join me on the podcast. You're very, very easy to listen to. Gary Wilson, thanks a million.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, Donegal, 21 points. Armagh, 1 goal and 10 points. Just a quick recap if you forgot the full-time score. I am delighted to welcome Michael McMullen onto the Donegal GAA podcast for the first time in 2025. We're in the press box here. The lights are off. Most people have gone home apart from the print journalists. 8-point victory for Donegal. What did you make of it, Michael?
Thoroughly controlled victory for Donegal, thoroughly deserved. And probably there was two parts to the game, Paddy, before Murphy and after. And there was literally sparks flying when he came on. And I suppose, I think it was actually Andrew Murnan kicked the second 2-pointer. And you take a glance at the scoreboard and you're thinking to yourself, Dublin last night, Derry last night, you're thinking, does this game change? And actually, I didn't even notice Michael Murphy warming up. He just appeared, and he was nearly out over the sideline without the exchange of paper and all that. And he was in, one with his left, one with his right, a free. There's a kick out land on him one time. He pulled it down one hand into the other, and you're thinking to yourself, what an addition. And that's on top of Conor O'Donnell. You'll correct me on this if I'm wrong here, but he played very, very little last year, if any. Whenever he got a hold on things, he was missing for the Galway game, is that right?
Ravaged by injuries, Conor O'Donnell has been.
The Galway game. He wasn't even in the 26, so he just took off there today, Paddy, and I'm thinking to myself, how do you catch somebody like that? And he came off, and then on comes, you know, likes of Niall O'Donnell, Owen McHugh, at the 60-minute mark, whenever, you know, and Jim and loads of managers have spoke about the middle eight players where people come on and you're thinking to yourself, there's Conor O'Donnell and there's Michael Murphy. But for me, as a neutral person coming here today, they put a serious stamp on this Donegal team today, regardless of result, regardless of where they sit in the league table.
Yeah, and just for our listeners, if you're tuning in for the first time, of course, Michael Langan had to go off injured against Kerry last week. Jason McGee, did you hear him? No McGills are good footballers. Jason McGee is, you know, out as well. Not sure when he's returning, but it was good from, I know a lot of people will be texting, what about the bench, who's all back? We saw Niall O'Donnell come back today into the 26, and we subsequently saw him actually enter the fray. Jack McKelvey was also back on the 26. Oran Doherty came on as well in the second half. And yeah, it's about a squad. I don't want to go over all the tired cliches. Donegal are building a nice squad. Where do you, is it too early though to say where we're all at? Your own native county, Derry, last year looked like they beat Real Madrid in the Champions League final in the middle of the league. Like, they just looked unbelievable. They went on to win the league, crashed out of the Championship the year before. Mayo in the league, Roscommon knocked them out. It's early days from a Donegal point of view at the same time, because we don't know where every other team are actually at. We don't know their training regimes. We've seen this for the last 100 years in the National League. The league is no barometer on the Championship. Sometimes it might be, but a lot of the time it's not. What's your own opinion? I asked Neil McGee myself down in Kerry, and Neil's the most genuine fella you will ever meet. He will never, you know, brush around a question. If he tells you something, you just take it on face value. There's no old nonsense. And he says the league is actually just about actually us learning the rules. And I think that's most going to, apart from maybe get relegated, then it's how much can we get out of these rules?
I think the league is all about learning, to be honest. And what I've noticed from watching the three rounds, there's stages today's game, Paddy. It actually looked like the game was last year, as if both teams had actually found the middle ground.
Yeah, yeah.
There's two aspects of it. Yeah. I haven't watched it yet, but Tyrone and Mayo today seem to be very low scoring. Derry versus Kerry was an absolute chaos in every way. But managers are finding a way of diluting it all and finding the middle place. And I think that's what we all want. But from Donegal's point of view, like Mayo 2 years ago and Derry last year proved that, you know, you cannot keep it going all the time. But Donegal are in that situation now where they have 6 points. They're safe. They've got 4 league games to get Niall O'Donnell football, maybe throw in Gavin Mulroney, get him a game. Do you know, Jack McKelvey, like, hasn't played an awful lot. Get people in, get them playing, because results aren't overly important. But you see those boys who come in, they're going to want to win games. Donegal might find it hard not to keep winning, but
I've never wanted Donegal to lose as much.
But like last year, whenever it came to the crux of it, like Jim, it might have been his interview with Brenton and Hyland, I think, that's where he spoke about the fact that last year the double whammy was they lost Owen Bann, and then they had to move Shane O'Donnell back, so they lost 2 people nearly in one substitution. So now he'll be hoping he's got a bit of depth. Like Finbar Rody come in, he's got loads of energy. Like Owen McFadden Ferry is probably somebody who might benefit out of the rest of this league campaign. And that's without going into Owen McHugh and Murphy and Conor O'Donnell. So he's in the situation now where they have the rest of the league. Paddy, they probably have the squad in the palm of their hands at the moment. Because imagine you're starting forward in that Donegal team at the minute, and you're looking at Michael Murphy. Like, what are you not thinking? Is it going to be me that loses out here? So that's the situation. But and again, back to that point about the rules, like, they are difficult to get your head around, and it takes time. It definitely does, and we'll probably find over the next few weeks some of them will be done and some of them won't. But I actually like them, and I think teams like Donegal are finding a way of making them work for them, to be fair.
I like them as well. And again, as I said to Gary Wilson, you don't have to like them all and equally. I just don't get, some people were dishing them before they even came in. They were making up scenarios in their head about this might happen, what if this happens? And they were going, I hate the rules. I actually think that's weird behaviour, if I'm being completely honest. You don't actually have to like the rules, but you can. Me and you didn't think there was a huge problem with Gaelic football 2 years ago. We often try to promote it to the best of our ability, and that's not our job to actually promote it, but I think we actually were happy enough. But at the same time, can it be the best version of it is at the moment? It probably really wasn't, even though I didn't have a huge issue with it, but a lot of people I knew had a huge issue with it. So it's not about what I think or what you think. And I think the smart group of people have come together. They won't all work. Some of them won't work. Some of them should get binned. And if it's for the better of the GAA, if the GAA is just spoken about in a better light, because nobody kicks down Gaelic football more than Gaelic football people. Mm-hmm. Gaelic football pundits and this thing that crept into the media about 25 years ago, 15 years ago, about puke football and all that. Well, it wasn't nice on us Gaels that absolutely love the game. So the rules, I don't know about you, from even journalist point of view, it is tough. There's a lot more thinking involved. Commentary's definitely got 30-40% harder for now, but we learn, and there will be problems at club level. But I've been talking to a lot of club people. I work in one county, I live in another, I'm up here a lot. The vast majority of club lads I know seem happy enough with it, despite, again, these people making up these scenarios that a lot of the club people may not like it. But, and there may be issues with officiating, but there's always been issues with officiating, so let's wait and see.
No, I think you're right. And I think, Paddy, you see the people who don't fancy them, they're entitled to their opinion as well, and they are. But I do think that it was becoming too predictable, and like, you would watch a game and you nearly know what's going to happen. Like, until Michael Murphy came on today, Paddy, like, as I said earlier, you're thinking to yourself, is there a turn in this Armagh team? And that's the way today's game was going. And like, for me, the rules, I think we have to get rid of giving the ball back.
100%.
Because there's too many grey areas. And I think it'll only create incidents that we don't really need. If somebody's cynical and kicks the ball away, fair enough, Paddy, 50 yards or metres, 100%. And the three men up will be difficult to operate, but I think it's so, so important. I think club people, county boards, I think they have to make it work. I really think they do. The two-point arc, will it bring back kickers? Hopefully. But the one that I have question marks over, and I'm starting to think we might need to get rid of it, is the kick-out arc. I was undecided. I'm starting to think that we need to get rid of it, because it's going to be very difficult to function as a team when it's really, really windy. Can you imagine Mahari?
The opposition push up on you. I was at a, you know, in-house game last week, and that, and those strong enough breeze, and I was thinking, this is in the Midlands, I was thinking, oh my God, if this is in West Donegal or in the coast of Derry or somewhere, and the team pushes up, you're in the lap of the gods there, aren't you?
But the game would be absolutely ruined at that point, because there's two things there on that. And is the first one is, because you can't go back to the goalkeeper, if you kick the ball out to me, Paddy, I can't give it back to you. So automatically, we can't hit reverse. So it's not going to go back to the way it was where you can completely control it. The other thing is, what happens if your cornerback makes a run and his man follows? You've got a pocket to kick it into. I think their skill is to be encouraged. So I think if you bring a bit more variation to the kickouts, that'll add to the game. Like, Sean Patton could find a pocket of space in behind. And I just think it would be detrimental if games are completely ruined by the wind. Like, you imagine somebody like, I'm trying to think the longest kicker I can think of, Brian Sheehan from Kerry, remember, was an unbelievable. But you imagine his kickouts hanging in the breeze. But what happens to the 18-year-old our drag keeper who's brilliant and steps into senior level? He might just, after a couple of weeks, say, you know what, it's not for me. Because he physically can't kick it, and the game's ruined. So maybe that one needs to be put in the bin. But at the same time, I think the FRC are to be commended for what they've done.
Yeah.
You know, definitely. So there's definitely a lot in it. But again, I think the better coaches and the better players will find a way for it to work in their own team. So the Derry and Kerry chaotic 60, 70, 80 minutes, that'll be sort of pulled in a wee bit, and we'll have maybe a wee bit like what we saw here today or we saw last night. And I think we'll all agree that's probably better going forward for everybody, I think.
It's okay as well. Like, there's going to be outrage now over everything. If a team's 5 points up with a few minutes to go and they decide to keep ball, but there's no other sport, there's no other team sport in the world where there's not game management. Like, that's game management. You're allowed to do that. If a soccer team goes and does that, it's absolute brilliant, genius, well done. Well, it's fine. You could have a frantic game, and the last 8 minutes might be a little bit keep it, we'll do this, we'll do that, we'll see out the game. That's fine. Calm down, everyone.
If you can't go back to your goalkeeper, it doesn't become uber control, if you know what I mean.
Correct.
It means you'll reward somebody who's pacey. Like, I'm just thinking from a Donegal point of view here. say, for example, the short kick out comes back and Donegal go to play somebody and they're penned in against the wind, mm-hmm. it brings back a Pat or Mogan who can come in and cut a lane and come out. You know, that's a skill. Yeah. That's something you can coach. But because he can't go back to the goalkeeper, Paddy, we won't end up with a complete set of reverse gear that nobody really wants to watch. But, you know, from the point of view, Donegal probably have a group of players that can probably deal with most things. But I think the league has been very open. And I'd say yourself, Paddy, you're bouncing inside thinking, we've got 6 points here. Donegal, people are thinking the same. You know, it gives you a chance to finish out the league and keep an eye on Celtic Park, and maybe we'll be in the long grass this time, Paddy.
Yeah, actually, that's one I want to get. That you're not getting away without discussing Derry. It's Belly Buffet, though, isn't it? It's McCool Park. It's not. Yeah, that is the 5th of April, isn't it? 6th of April. That weekend, because the Mayo game is the 23rd of March, and then the league final is the subsequent weekend. What was it, the 30th? So, yeah, just play me fullback and the Cookie Monster full forward in the next couple of weeks, and just sit on sixes or maybe 8 points. That's fine. Jim knows more about football than I'll ever know. On Derry, to be honest with you, I love the league coming back, and I love the first two or three rounds. Once round three is gone every year, I'm only thinking of Championship. I'm already now, can we just get the rest of these games out of the way? Even though I love it coming back, I love going to games, but now I'm like, it's just the short nature of it. Derry, what are we like? We're, what, 18th, 19th of February here? What day is today? I'm totally lost here. 16th. So today's the 16th. So you have March, April. Wow. It's just under, it's not even 2 months to Donegal Derry. You lads are coming in under the long grass. Last night probably felt like a win, did it? What is the mood, the feeling in Derry over what was, let's be honest, a really, really disappointing year last year?
Yeah, last year was really disappointing. Obviously a great start, and I've said it a few times, we were hammered by Donegal and Armagh at home in the Championship, and that's as black and white as you can say it. And we went for what seemed like an eternity trying to get a manager, and I think maybe David Moyes is maybe the only person wasn't linked to the job at that point. But now Paddy Talley's come in, disappointing enough performance against Tyrone in a game we probably still could have got something out of. Played really well against Kerry, and obviously got completely dumped at the end. Yesterday, played pretty well yesterday, and ended up, we could have won it. Like, we could have easily be sitting here with 4 points today, so it could be a lot different. As a Derry man, I'm reasonably happy how things are going. I would rather be where you're at. I would rather be safe now. I would love to be there. But from the point of view of what happened last year, you're hoping that maybe things will become together a wee bit later in the season, which is maybe part of the plan. I don't know up front, but Paddy Talley, as he said a couple of times, just how difficult the league is, how competitive it is. And he mentioned learning, and he mentioned the rules, and I think they're starting to get a grip with them as well. And thankfully, they're starting to, there's a few new faces appearing as well, probably out of necessity with injuries. Like Chrissy McKay stepped away, massive servant, you know, nearly 150 games for Derry. So he steps away and Gareth McInnes is injured. But, you know, that's the way it is. Like last year, like I know you have Galway connections. Like last year, Galway played Derry in the league game down in Salt Hill, and they were absolutely ravaged. But they ended up the width of a goalpost away from extra time in an All-Ireland final. So I'm looking at something like that and thinking, hopefully that's where it'll go. And probably, you know, maybe Jim and the Donegal management team will be thinking, how do we sit on the other side of that? How can we keep this thing ticking along, you know, until the real fire starts? But no, Derry's at a reasonable position. Obviously well spoken about, of sort of 10 years of decent underage. But my concern would be that in that same decade, Tyrone won under 20 All-Irelands, which is a better barometer. Mm. So from that point of view, I would like to think we'll get a decent run out of the under 20s this year and try and get more of them in, because Paddy Talley did say that he wouldn't use any under 20s until that was over. He sort of kept both squads separately, and him and Damien McAleen seemed to be sort of working together on that. So it's probably where you need to go, because we're a relatively small county, albeit a core of really strong clubs in there. So you just hope that something will grow at the end of the summer. But
well, Well, after you beat Donegal here in the fifth,
there
sixth,
there. There you go. Yeah. I can't.
Donegal have no chance, in my opinion.
Chris McNally threw a stat out downstairs. I can't remember what it was. It was the amount of games that Jim's unbeaten here. It was 15. I can't remember what it was. The listeners will probably know, but that's the sort of tall order you face. But, you know, we will be coming here in the long grass, but hopefully there'll be a wee bit of championship magic and a bit of spark, and we'll see where we end up.
Yeah. I was about to say summer love, but it'll only be April. We'll probably be absolutely freezing. We're actually cold here tonight, but I'll tell you what was warm. Donegal's performance today. Donegal 21 points, Armagh 1 goal and 10 points. Michael McMullen, we will talk to you over the next couple of weeks, and thanks yet again for joining me on the Donegal GAA podcast.
No bother about it. Safe home, and we'll see what the championship brings.
Yeah, we certainly will. Okay, folks, that's it for the weekend's edition of the Donegal GAA podcast. As I said, 8-point win for Jim McGuinness's side. They sit top of the table in Division 1, but it's still only February. 3 wins from 3, and next week Donegal go to Pierce Stadium in Salt Hill, a windy Pierce Stadium, Salt Hill, absolutely no doubt about that. Then there's a little bit of a break then to Derry on the 2nd of March in Ballyshannon, and of course Tyrone then in Letterkenny on St. Patrick's weekend, and that's finished by another trip to the West Coast to take on Mayo. A big shout out to your loyal listeners who tune in your really large numbers, and a special word of thanks to those of you who tune in who are far and wide, from South Africa to New York, San Francisco, all the way over to Australia. We really, really appreciate it. As I said, Donegal play Galway next Sunday in Salt Hill. Our next show will be out then. Bye for now. Stay safe, and we will talk to you in 7 days.
FM. Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.